Today, negative interest rates are coming. Watch your cash. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Yesterday, I went through the latest events over the last few days and highlighted that the financial markets are beginning to show some deep cracks. And so today, I want to take that a little bit further by firstly looking at bonds in Australia. Next, look at what JP Morgan is saying about the credit default swaps market and specifically what's happening to interest rates in lesser credits. And finally, touch on the latest from the IMF relating to negative interest rates and the pretty damning comments there about that and how it links to cash bans. So firstly, with regard to Australian yield curves, the shocking truth is that since the Reserve Bank cut last Tuesday, the yield curve has dropped significantly. It's, in fact, lower than it's ever been. And even if you look out over 20, 30 years, the rates are still remarkably low. Now, this, of course, is a signal of lower rates for longer. And it also means that governments will be able to borrow on the cheap, but it also means that depositors will have terrible trouble over quite a long period of time. So the second point I want to make refers to a recent Bloomberg article that highlights the fact that the fallout from the recent global disruption may be starting to affect credit and funding markets. And they cite JP Morgan Chase & Co. Supply chain disruptions and demand shocks from the virus fallout could already be causing cash flow problems for businesses, JP Morgan wrote in a note on Friday. That's probably even more true for smaller companies and those in sectors like travel and lodging. If these shifts in credit and funding markets are sustained over the coming weeks and months, especially in the issuance space, credit channels might start amplifying the economic fallout, JP Morgan said. Unless credit support from central banks and or governments is broad, fast and direct, we note credit markets are facing an increased risk of a cycle turning with a lot more downgrades or even defaults over the coming months. Credit markets suffered their worst day in a decade on Friday amid fears that corporate income will be stymied and some companies' ability to repay their debt will be under pressure. Travel and leisure-related companies were hit, while energy company bonds and loans fell further into distress. A derivatives index that measures the perceived risk of corporate credit surged by the most since at least 2011, and in Europe, the cost of insuring senior financial debt skyrocketed. Market concerns about ratings downgrades and companies dropping to junk status are justified by a look at credit fundamentals, the JP Morgan report said. The median net debt to EBITDA ratio for companies in JP Morgan's high-grade and high-yield companies in the USA and Europe has risen steeply in the past decade and is now higher than in the previous two cycles in 2007-08 and 2001-02, it said. Companies are currently much more vulnerable to a decline in incomes and or a rise in corporate bond spreads and yields than in the previous two recessions, JP Morgan wrote. This is especially true for US credit and for Euro high yield, given the absence there of the backstop from the European Central Bank's corporate bond program that solely benefits Euro high grade. There are some signs of stress in Yankee issue as well, the report said, noting it tends to be more sensitive to funding concerns because non-US companies can find it harder to raise dollar funding relative to domestic US companies in periods of stress. It's also the case that credit appears most vulnerable to an economic downturn, according to the note, using an analysis which looks at the historical behavior of various asset classes around past US recessions, particularly the move from the pre-recession peak to the trough during the event, Rate markets are now implying that something that looks like a US recession is almost a certainty and have become even more disconnected from risky asset classes, JPM wrote. US credit seems to be still the most vulnerable to US recession risks, followed by US equities. So the cost of credit is rising, and this is going to have a profound and negative impact, and indeed a feedback loop. So whilst the source of the crisis may not be financial directly, the implications are that financial markets are also going to catch a cold. And where that takes us is to a discussion about the impacts of negative interest rates. And indeed, central banks are starting to experiment with negative interest rates to stimulate their countries' economies. And the IMF just published a paper called How Can Interest Rates Be Negative? It was written by Vikram Haskar, an associate director, and Emmanuel Kopp, a senior economist at the IMF. And it's published in Finance and Development, March 2020. And it's worth listening to what they say. They start by saying, money has been around for a long time, and we've always paid for using somebody else's money or savings. The charge for doing this is known by many different words, from prorog in ancient Sanskrit to interest in modern English. The oldest known example of an institutionalized legal interest rate is found back in an ancient Babylonian text dating to around 2000 BC. For most of history, nominal interest rates, stated rates that borrowers pay on the loan, have been positive, that is, greater than zero. However, consider what happens when the rate of inflation exceeds the returns on savings or loans. When inflation is 3% and the interest rate on the loan is 2%, the lender's return after inflation is less than zero. In such a situation, we say the real interest rate, the nominal rate minus the rate of inflation, is negative. In modern times, central banks have charged a positive nominal interest rate when lending out short-term funds to regulate the business cycle. However, in recent years, an increasing number of central banks have resorted to low-rate policies. Several, including the European Central Bank, and the central banks of Denmark, Japan, Sweden, and Switzerland have started experimenting with negative interest rates, essentially making banks pay to park their excess cash at the central bank. The aim is to encourage banks to lend out those funds instead, thereby countering the weak growth that persisted after the 2008 global financial crisis. For many, the world was turned upside down. Savers would now earn a negative return while borrowers get paid to borrow money, but actually it's not that simple. Simply put, interest is the cost of credit or the cost of money. It is the amount a borrower agrees to pay to compensate a lender for using her money and to account for the associated risks. Economic theories underpinning interest rates vary, some pointing to interactions between the supply of savings and the demand for investment, and others to the balance between money supply and demand. According to these theories, interest rates must be positive to motivate saving, and investors demand progressively higher interest rates the longer money is borrowed to compensate for the heightened risk involved in tying up their money longer. Hence, under normal circumstances, interest rates would be positive, and the longer the term, the higher the interest rate would have to be. Moreover, to know what an investment effectively yields or what a loan costs, it is important to account for inflation, the rate at which money loses value. Expectations of inflation are therefore a key driver of longer-term interest rates. While there are many different interest rates in financial markets, the policy interest rates set by a country's central bank provides the key benchmark for borrowing costs in the country's economy. Central banks vary the policy rate in response to changes in the economic cycle and to steer the country's economy by influencing many different, mainly short-term, interest rates. Higher policy rates provides incentives for saving, while lower rates motivate consumption and reduce the cost of business investment. A guidepost for central bankers in setting the policy rate is the concept of the neutral rate of interest, the long-term interest rate that is consistent with stable inflation. The neutral interest rate neither stimulates nor restrains economic growth. When interest rates are lower than the neutral rate, policy, monetary policy is expansionary, and when they are high, it is contractionary. Today, there is broad agreement that in many countries this neutral interest rate has been on a clear downward trend for decades and is probably lower than previously assumed. But the drivers of this decline are not well understood. Some have emphasized the role of factors like long-term demographic trends, especially aging societies in advanced economies, weak productivity growth, and the shortage of safe assets. Separately, persistently low inflation in advanced economies, often significantly below their targets or long-term averages, appears to have lowered markets' long-term inflation expectations. The combination of these factors likely explains the striking situation in today's bond markets. Not only have long-term interest rates fallen, but in many countries they're in fact now negative. Returning to monetary policy, following the global financial crisis, central banks cut nominal interest rates aggressively, in many cases to zero or close to zero. We call this the zero lower bound, a point below which some believe that interest rates could not go. But possibly, monetary policy can be impacted through similar mechanisms both above and below zero. Indeed, negative interest rates also give consumers and businesses an incentive to spend or invest money rather than leave it in their bank accounts, where the value would be eroded by inflation. Overall, these aggressively low interest rates have probably helped somewhat where implemented in stimulating economic activity. By the way, that's what the IMF says. I disagree. Though there remains uncertainties about side effects and risks. Well, I agree with that. Absolutely. The risks are huge. A first concern with negative rates is their potential impact on bank profitability. Banks perform a key function by matching savings to useful projects that generate a high rate of return. In turn, they earn a spread, the difference between what they pay savers, depositors, and what they charge on the loans they make. When central banks lower their policy rates, the general tendency is for this spread to be reduced, as overall lending and longer-term interest rates tend to fall. When rates go to below zero, banks may be reluctant to pass on the negative interest rates to their depositors by charging fees on their savings for fear that they will withdraw their deposits. If banks refrain from negative rates on deposits, this could in principle turn the lending spread negative because the return on the loan would not cover the costs of holding deposits. This could in turn lower bank profitability and undermine financial stability. A second concern with negative interest rates on bank deposits is that they would give savers an incentive to switch out of deposits into holding cash. After all, it is not possible to reduce cash's face value, although some have proposed getting rid of cash altogether to make deeply negative rates feasible when needed. Hence, there has been a concern that negative rates could reach a tipping point beyond which savers would flood out of banks and park their money in cash outside the banking system. We don't know for sure where such an effective lower bound on interest rates is. In some scenarios, going below this lower bound could undermine financial system liquidity and stability. In practice, banks can charge other fees to recoup costs, and rates have not gotten negative enough for banks to try to pass on negative rates to small depositors, postscript other than in Germany. Larger depositors have accepted some negative rates for the convenience of holding money in banks. But the concern remains about the limits to negative interest rate policies so long as cash exists as an alternative. And here you are, the evidence as to why the cash ban and monetary policy is absolutely joined at the hip. Overall, a low neutral rate implies that short-term interest rates could more frequently hit the zero lower bound and remain there for extended periods of time. As this occurs, central banks may increasingly need to resort to what were previously thought of as unconventional policies, including negative policy interest rates. So as rates go into that negative territory, it's going to create massive disruption in financial markets. It could well be that banks will start charging people, perhaps fees initially, for holding money at the bank. or indeed get more sophisticated and charge an amount relating to an effective negative interest rate. This is already happening in some places in Europe, and banks in Germany are already charging some of their customers. And beyond that, we might even see some more wacky ideas. For example, banknotes that depreciate in value over time. So they might be worth $100 today, $90 in a month's time, $80 in 2 months' time. Or even an arrangement where, through a lottery, some banknotes are declared a legal tender and therefore the money supply is reduced. All of these wacky ideas are to try and counteract negative interest rates. But it's negative interest rates themselves that are the problem. And I want to underscore that nowhere where they have been tried have they succeeded. Europe and Japan are both struggling. And it seems to me that the whole central bank philosophy of taking rates into these uncharted territories is, frankly, pretty dumb. And the results could well be very painful for many Australians, particularly savers. But also I'd make the point that even with a mortgage, you will still probably have to pay something on it. It's unlikely that they will pay you to take a mortgage. But, well, even that potentially could be there in the future. So we are really in uncharted territory. And this whole situation seems to me to be pretty wacky. Let me just cycle back on one point and underscore it again. The IMF once again highlights the fact that if you want to implement negative interest rates and make them stick, you have to control cash, because without it, people will just take money out of the banking system. Now, in the recent Senate inquiry on the cash ban, they basically dismiss this idea as fanciful and theoretical. Well, not according to the IMF. It's there in the headlights, and that means that the cash ban is definitely linked with negative interest rates. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.